Up next on Downtown, we welcome in renowned civil rights lawyer Ronald Kuby, who spent 12 years at the beginning of his legal career working with William Kunstler on cases including the defense of the Chicago Seven. In the decades since Kunstler's death, Ronald has dedicated himself, in his words, to opposing the federal and state government as they come up with creative new ways to disproportionately punish people living outside of the law because of their political beliefs, race, class, immigration status, creative impulses, and perceived deviance. Since 2000, much of that work has been focused on post-conviction cases, helping to free those wrongly convicted of a crime they did not commit. That work is part of a Stars Network series entitled Wrong Man, which debuted its second season earlier this week. Ronald, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Kerry. Thank you for having me, and good afternoon, Maine.
Can you start off a little bit by talking about that 2000 case that drew your interest to working on getting these wrongful convictions overturned?
It started out really as a media case. I was doing morning radio on WABC, and we wanted to synchronize with our sister television station, and there was this case presented of two men who had been in prison for 13 years. There was substantial evidence gathered by an investigator that they were the wrong people. They didn't do it. And we premiered it on our show, and it premiered on the local television station, but they apparently had a lawyer, and so that was the end of my interest in it until, for whatever reason, the lawyer decided that he didn't want to be involved anymore. They asked me if I would take the case, and I maintained a law practice, you know, despite doing media. Mm-hmm. And so I took it on. I spent about a year on it. And not only did we exonerate these two men, but we caught the person who actually committed the murder, who had no relationship to these guys whatsoever, didn't know them, you know, they never met. And we freed the wrong men, and we convicted the right man.
And that's really
so
the best.
That was kind of amazing. This was a non-DNA case, mm-hmm. and to walk these guys out in the year 2000 in May to their families and their friends and their community, it was an amazing feeling.
And that's really the best case scenario of a situation like this, where not only do you get the, you know, someone that is incarcerated for something they didn't do released, but you also find the person that actually did commit the crime.
And frequently those go hand in hand. In last season's Wrong Man, one of the people we profiled was a guy named Chris Tapp, who spent 20 years in Idaho Falls for a savage rape murder that he confessed to. He even took a polygraph over. And not only did it ultimately come to pass that he was the wrong individual entirely, through genealogical DNA, the authorities finally found the right guy, who had nothing to do with this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it was from a different place, different state, everything else, you know, was a drifter who had a history of rapes and murders. And so he's behind bars. Chris Tapp is free, and no big surprise, Chris is a big fan of the show.
Mm. Well, and that was the result of one of the three cases that you guys, the show, looked at last year. And another, the case of Curtis Flowers, he's been released on bond with the possibility of a new trial coming up.
Right. His conviction was overturned. He finally was released on bond, and we gathered a substantial quantity of evidence that his defense can use if the state of Mississippi decides on an unprecedented seventh retrial.
Wow. That's
which is I've never heard of anybody being tried seven times for the same crime.
Yeah. So the families of these people that have been wrongfully convicted, what are their feelings during the process and after the process is over of you know, working to get their loved ones out of prison?
It's one of the most heartbreaking part of this is because the people who are actually innocent, and I'm not certainly not suggesting everybody behind bars is, but the people who actually are, they never give up hope. and their families never give up hope. And years, sometimes decades go by, and sometimes, you know, especially parents of these folks die without ever seeing their loved one exonerated. And when somebody comes along and is finally willing to pay attention, you know, they're usually incredibly gratified and satisfied and happy, and you know, finally they have something beyond their own spiritual strength that gives them hope. And in the second season, in the Starry series, we examine three cases, all of which are murders, all of which involve people who maintain their innocence and have maintained it, one since 1984. And we really excavate these cases with a team of experts, and we hire additional experts. We, you know, Starz puts real resources into these cases, and we basically reinvestigate the cases in light of new technology and new information in the ways they should have been looked at before. Ultimately, I'm going to tell you there's no ending in any of these where you know what's going to happen when the show is over. Mm. There's a lot of different directions that lawyers can take these things in. But I think you'll have a pretty good sense of who's guilty, who's innocent, and where there's doubts, if at all, by the time the shows are over.
Now, you mentioned one of the cases this year dates back to the mid-80s. You know, that's over three decades ago. Does the age of a case like this make it more difficult, or is it like exponentially more difficult to reinvestigate those cases?
Well, like all good lawyers, the answer is yes and no. it's obviously harder to, when witnesses have died, it's harder to assemble the file because this was before digital versions of things. It's harder to locate the evidence that may still exist. Those things are all much more difficult. Mm-hmm. What makes the cases easier is you now have new forensic tools that you can use to examine the existing evidence, tools that simply didn't exist in 1984, most notably DNA, but many, many others. In addition, witnesses themselves, you know, are willing to come forward and talk more candidly now that there's no longer the community pressure, there's no longer the police pressure, there's no longer the passion. And if they either lied under oath, or more often, exaggerated things, filled in spaces, things said they saw things they didn't really see, but maybe they could have seen if they happened, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. People are more willing to come forward now and recognize they may very well have made a mistake.
So these episodes show as each person gets a couple of hours, but how much time goes into the research of what viewers end up seeing on the screen?
Oh, I think in the 2 hours per defendant, I would say thousands of research hours from file assembly to on the ground detective work. These are incredibly labor intensive, and they are in real life as well. It's, you know, in our law practice, you know, you spend a just a mind-boggling amount of time, which is why it so often takes years and years and years to exonerate people. The great thing about having Starz back is instead of having, you know, two people spend 5,000 hours, you can have 100 people working on it at the same time. And that's what resources will get you. And as my dad taught me, under capitalism, people with more money, they get better stuff.
That does often seem to be the case, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
New episodes of Wrong Man are broadcast on Starz Sundays at 9 and available for streaming with the Starz app. Thank you so much for making the time to talk with us today, Ronald.
Thank you so much, Gary.